Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When God created the world for mankind, God said it was very good. When sin came into this world, very soon after God created Adam and Eve, the world was now filled with people who are totally depraved. And when they multiplied, very soon, in less than 1,000 or slightly over 1,600 years, the world became so evil and so bad that God had to intervene and bring about a global flood to wipe out from the face of this earth all human beings except those who were protected inside the ark that God caused his servant Noah to construct. He preached for 100 years, but nobody listened because no one believed. When the flood came, only Noah and his family, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were found in the ark. The rest all perished. And after that, very soon, you find God had to reduce the lifespan of man from 800 to 900 to 70 years. But not instantaneously, nor immediately, because you find that the descendants of Shem, men like Abraham, still live way past 100, Isaac, Jacob, likewise. But soon it started to decline very rapidly. The reason was to stop men from sinning repeatedly, over and over again, for many, many years. Death was the only way to stop great, powerful despots filled with sin from continuing in their evil. Imagine if men like Hitler and Mao Zedong were allowed to live 800-900 years. They are not going to be removed from power if they continue in their evil. You just imagine what our world would be like. And so God had to stop men. But you look at our world. What do you see in our world today? You and I need to look at our world from God's perspective, with God's eyes. We are divided into many nations. The beautiful planet Earth that God has given to mankind to dwell in has always been in constant battle. What do men have to fight for? Property. They are not happy with their boundaries within their nation. They want to expand. They want to expand as much as possible. In the course of the expansion, they will have to kill and destroy others. They have to take their land. They have to take nations from other nations. That has been the way and the history of man's existence. And he has not stopped. It continues till today. You see all the battles and all the warfare and all the squabbling. Look at what China is doing. They have created a tiny little island where they have turned it into a fort, a place of armament, somewhere in the ocean. What are they afraid of? Why do they want that tiny little piece when they already have such a big, big piece for their billion plus people? Much, much bigger than so many other nations, but never contented. One world government has always been the desire of man. Nations of the nations, empires of the empires have been trying to conquer as big a piece of real estate as they possibly could. And if you look at the history of empires, you will find that one of the largest and greatest empires that ever occupied was the British Empire. There was a time when it became so great, so big, that they said that their sun never set on the British Empire, because when it sets in the west, it rises in the east, and the British Empire was in the east. That's how great they were. Occupied a big, big chunk of our world. And yet, they never succeeded to have a one-world government. But man will never stop. And that's why superpowers will continue to fight with one another. The Americans with the Russians today, and the Chinese, and some others that are not as big, not as powerful, but they once enjoyed power superpower status like the British, the French, the Germans. Man will never stop. The one world government is, as it were, inscribed into our DNA. Is it wrong to have a one world government? No, it's not wrong. Because our home, new heaven and new earth, you notice that it will be a one world government? Of course, it will be ruled by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with having a one world government. The millennium, 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, cover the entire world. You saw that last Lord's Day, I believe. The millennium was mentioned, the Bible verses that we tried to memorize before the worship service. It talks about the kingdom of Jesus Christ that will cover the entire world, and Christ alone, the one world government with Christ as the head, he will dominate and rule for 1,000 years. So there's nothing wrong having a one world government, because God himself will accomplish it, and our eternity will be characterized by this truth. One world government in the new heaven and new earth with a capital city called New Jerusalem, and what that city, the dimensions and what it will be like is described for us very vividly and clearly in Revelation chapter 21 and parts of Revelation 22. So there's nothing wrong with it. Then what is the problem with the one world government in Genesis 11? Because what we see there, you're going to find the same symptoms today with all the governments of the world, because we are very close to seeing the fulfillment of man's second attempt in trying to accomplish the one world government. This was the first. But God said this first attempt must not be allowed to succeed because it is not time. God will not let it succeed. How long did it take man to start this notion of a one world government after the flood? At least 101 years. After the flood, this attempt of a one world government led by a man called Nimrod started. Now, how do I know that it was 101 years, at least 101 years? Look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. Now, Genesis chapter 10 is a description of the division of the descendants of the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And there is one phrase that is described for us in chapter 10 that resulted in their going their separate ways. And that phrase is found in verse 5, everyone after his own tongue. That's how they separated and distributed. That's why they went their own way. Suddenly, they could not speak and understand each other or one another. This same phrase was recorded in verse 20, after their tongues. So they were divided according to their different languages. The same for the people of Shem in verse 31, after their tongues. Now, how did this occur? Because they all spoke the same language when they were in the ark. They all spoke the same language after the flood when they came out of the ark. Genesis 11, verse 1 to verse 9, explain the origin of the phrase after their tongues. Suddenly, the three brothers could not communicate, and their children and their children's children all could not communicate. So this is point number one to take note. Look at verse 25. This speaking in other tongues, that is the division, occurred during whose time? And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days, that is Peleg's days, was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Yoktan. So Peleg was the man that belonged to the lineage of Shem during his time. The Bible says the generations of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth were divided. So that means Genesis 11, verse 1 to verse 9, occurred during the time of Peleg. Now, the Bible did not say whether it was at Peleg's birth or how old Peleg was when that incident occurred. The Bible simply said it was during Peleg's time. Now, what time was it after the flood was the birth of Peleg? All right, Peleg was born after how many years after the flood? Now, you look at Genesis 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. All right, so Arphaxad was born to Shem 2 years after the flood. And then look at verse 12. Arphaxad lived 530 years and he begat Salah. So 2 plus 35. And then Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. So 2 plus 35 plus 30. And then you look at verse 16. Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. So you add them up, 2 plus 34 plus 30 plus 35, you have 101 years after the flood, Peleg was born. So that's how we know that the division that occurred as described for us in Genesis 11, verse 1 to verse 9, took place at least 101 years after Noah brought his children out of the ark. That's after the flood. And the Bible made it clear. 101 years is not a very long time. But there were enough people on the earth at that time for a man called Nimrod to gather and assemble the people together to lead them to form this one world government. Now remember, nothing wrong with forming the one world government unless you are doing something that is against the teaching of God's word. Now, we know that it was Nimrod because the Bible tells us that it was Nimrod. He was the one who started it all. His name appeared in Genesis chapter 10. Let's look at him. Verse 7, Genesis 10. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Saptar and Raamah and Sabtekah, and the sons of Raamah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, look at the context of Genesis 10. It's about people. He was not a hunter of men. Hunter of animals. He was a hunter of men. In other words, if anyone were to oppose him, he would kill you. He would strike you down. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, you know, at the end of chapter 11, verse 9, what would be the name of the city that God stopped them from forming the one world government? Babel. Who was the leader? Nimrod. That's how we get the name Babel. That's how we know that he was the culprit. 101 years after the flood, when God gave to man the second chance and last chance to start all over again this time, God had to shorten man's lifespan because when God allowed man to live 800-900 years, imagine a rapist exercising his evil for 800 years. A murderer, a thief, a liar, a cheat, a slanderer, all these are terrible sins and only death could stop these people. You know that. Today, many desperate and many powerful evil people, they must not be allowed to live hundreds of years with that kind of evil power at their disposal. And that's why God had to shorten man's life. And God told mankind, this time I destroy you with water. And I give you the sign of the rainbow to remind you of why I have to destroy you the first time. And I'm giving you another opportunity to live again. Live it well. Don't turn the world into the days of Noah where every man is corrupt. Every imagination of man's heart is to devise and invent and create more and more evil. And when you live 800-900 years, just imagine how much evil one individual could accomplish. If all you do is to invent and create more and more evil for hundreds of years, and you find that there are millions of them. And Dr. Wickham, when he taught us Genesis, he suggested that by the time of Noah's flood, based upon the way that people live and how many children they have, the total earth population could be as many as a billion, at least a few hundred of millions, perhaps. And imagine all of them live hundreds of years, and most of them, if not all of them, a majority of them, are evil and wicked continuously. Just imagine what kind of world it was like before the flood. You can't imagine it. That's why God had to intervene in order to save mankind, because the lineage of the seed of the woman that God had to rekindle after Cain killed Abel, God had to rekindle the messianic line from Adam to Seth. And the descendants of Seth will continue and continue right up to the time of Noah. And the last one to live was Methuselah. The day of Methuselah's death was the day of the start of the flood. God had to preserve the line of the Messiah to save mankind. And now God gave man the second and final beginning. Don't waste it. Don't mess it up. I destroy it with water to give you a fresh start. And what did man do 101 years after that? A one world government. What was wrong with it? What did God say to Noah and his family soon after they came out of the ark? Do you remember? What did God say in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth, what does it mean? It means to cover the face of it, fill it. When you gather together in one location, you are not replenishing the earth. That's why the first one world government was against the revealed will of God. God said to you, all of you, you were there, you are all descendants of Noah. You are to replenish the earth, not stay put in one place. You are to spread out willingly and cover the face of the earth. But Nimrod said no. We should remain behind because the one world government will have this agenda. What was the agenda of Nimrod? You look at the evil nature of man-made one world government. Man-centered one world government. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech at the time. So it was very possible. Now you have to remember this, because in order for the one world government to succeed, you need to be able to communicate with people. The people have to understand you. And next Lord's Day, God willing, we're going to look at the second attempt of a one world government. And remember, these are the ingredients that are required for it to succeed. One language, one speech for mutual communication and understanding. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That's where Babylon was located. And they dwelt there. And then they said one to another, led by a man called Nimrod, go to. Now, please note the verse or the verb go to. Okay, let us now, this is what we want. Let us go ahead and do it. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. Very clever, very smart. And that's how they can keep on building, and the building will keep on rising. And then they said, go to again. Let us build us a city and a tower. Nothing wrong with building a city and a tower. Please understand this. You look at Singapore, a lot of towers. Singapore is a city. If it's wrong to live in a city, we should all get out of city. There's nothing wrong with the city and the tower. Remember this. Whose top may reach unto heaven. That means to bring heaven down onto this earth. In other words, let this be heaven itself. You want to make heaven into your own image? That means you want to be what? You want to be God. That's exactly what Nimrod attempted to do. Let us make us a name. That is the problem. That is the agenda of man-made one world government. Make man a name. Give man a name. That is the problem.
to challenge God, in other words, who is the one who lives in heaven, whose name in heaven is the name that everyone must bow down? God's, not man's. They wanted to bring heaven down onto this earth. Basically, what they're trying to say to us is, we want to be God. That man, Nimrod, basically by his attempt to be a one-world government, is to get people to worship him as God. Make us a name. That was the problem. Is that not the same everywhere in our miniature version or scale? When you want to have your own company, you make your own logo, you make your own name for yourself in a small way compared to people who wanted a nation after their name. You wanted your company after their name. In other words, don't point fingers and blame others. Look inwardly. It is in our sinful DNA to want to promote our own big fat name. It's the pride of life. You may want it to be in a company form, but others think big. They want it to be a nation. They want it to be a nation that conquer other nations. Was that not what Hitler did? Conquering nation after nation after nation, and you just imagine how many millions perish because he wanted to have Hitler to be remembered for 1,000 years, the Third Reich. Mao Zedong, did he not do the same? Everywhere you go to China, of course, I've not been to China, no intention of going, but from the photographs and the pictures, you can see his big face, humongous story. I don't know how many story high. You can see it from a long, long distance. His face, everywhere, plastered everywhere, to let everyone in China to know that he is their benefactor. You find the same in North Korea. They think big. We think smaller. We have our little company. But this is the problem with man. And Nimrod, he was able at that time when everybody spoke the same language, 101 years at least after the end of the flood, people have forgotten so quickly about the flood, about the reason why God had to destroy. And soon after that, they are going to start something similar to fight against God. God says, spread out. They say, no, stay behind. Make us a name. If we are scattered, we cannot make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They don't want to. This has always been man's problem, fighting against God. And man has not stopped. Satan had blinded the eyes, the heart of man. And man continues, and they think they are right. And we as believers are so used to it that we do not find it a problem anymore. We do not feel disgusted by it because we see it everywhere. And Satan so cleverly masqueraded it as something innocuous and something that is harmless. It is not. You look at the logo. It's a design to propagate and promote a company ruled by men, and they want the company to spread bigger and bigger. You call it entrepreneurship. Bigger and bigger. And so when you have one little company in this location, not happy, not satisfied, multiply it to more and more, hundreds, if not thousands of them all over the globe, so that you will turn your million-dollar company to a multi-billion-dollar company, and people will know who you are, know your brand. Isn't it the same as the one world government? Your brand. It's just that yours is in a smaller, minor scale compared to them. They are the big boys. Nimrod was the big boy. He wanted to have a name. Is that your desire too? When you study hard in school, want to have a name that people will know that you are the brightest number one in class. And not only in class, not satisfied with just the class, you want to be number one in your school. Oh, that is not good enough. I want to be number one in the whole of Singapore in my cohort. And so you try to be number one in the PSLE, which is a national exam. Not happy with just being number one. Isn't it the same?
So when you and I look at Nimrod, don't look at him as if he's a stranger. He's one of us. He's a mirror image of us. It's just that he thinks big. He wants a world government. And parents, if you push and push your children toward the direction, at all costs, my son, my daughter, be number one in class, be number one in school, be number one. You are now pushing them into the image of Nimrod. That's what you are doing. What is there about man that you want to be number one? You and I, we are born in sin. You and I continue to commit many sins, if not for the grace and mercies of God in saving us. That number one, your name or anybody's name, any human being's name, is soaked in sin. It's only evil. Because that name will only fan the ego and the pride of sinful men. And it will do nothing to deliver mankind from the depths of hell itself. The only name that must be number one is the name of Jesus Christ, none other. And when men try to push themselves above Jesus Christ to be number one, that is exactly what you are doing. And that was exactly what Nimrod was doing. To make a name for himself among all those who lived in his time. The first one world government, speaking the same language with one tongue. They were able to communicate, and he was able to control and convince them that this was the right thing to do, and they did it. He managed to succeed. He said, go to twice, and the people went and moved and followed. And anyone who opposed him, he was a mighty hunter, he killed. Isn't that how man rules other men? You don't do what I say, I kill. What I say, what I want. And how many millions have perished? Have we studied the history of the empires of men? Generations of the generations of the generations. And it is not going to stop, tragically. And it will continue right up to the culmination of the second one world government, which is just round the corner for your information. It can rear its ugly head just like that. Because everything is all prep and ready for it to become a reality. God recorded this attempt to warn us so that you and I as God's children will not be caught sleeping, so that you and I as God's children will not be sucked into the philosophy and the idea and the tide that will ultimately bring forth the evil one. Because Nimrod was nothing but the agent of the devil. Remember why the devil was cast out of heaven? He wanted to be like God. What do you think Nimrod was doing when he says, bring heaven down onto this earth? Reach heaven. He wanted to be in charge of heaven. Who is in charge of heaven? God. Nimrod was nothing but a tool of the devil. Because the devil failed in heaven, he wants to succeed on earth. And he will give Nimrod the power to do it. And he is and will always be a powerful adversary of every Christian, the devil. And don't you treat him lightly. He is cunning, he is devious, he is diabolical. And he is so cunning and clever to make you think that you're worshipping Christ and God when in fact you're worshipping him. He can control the forces of nature. He can control evil men who allow themselves to be controlled by him through their evil desires like Nimrod. He wanted a name to displace the name of Christ, the only name under heaven that can save you and me from our sin. He wants to displace it and replace it with his name. That's the one world government. The condition? What's the condition? You look at verse 5 and verse 6. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. The condition is nothing will be restrained from them. They will do whatever they wanted. That's the condition. They want to promote the name of Nimrod, the leader, energized by the devil himself. And with one language, they can communicate, they can control. Nothing will stop them from fulfilling what they attempt to do. Nothing will be restrained from them. That's the condition which they have imagined to do. They will succeed. God already warns us. These people are here today. No different. It's the same generation of people after the flood. Remember this. We are not talking about the generation before the flood. The generation after the flood would include us. What you see in the heart of Nimrod and what he did is a reflection of all of us, unless you are a Christian. Then that desire will be replaced by our desire to promote only Christ, for he must increase and we decrease. You remember the time when you and I were unbelievers? We have no knowledge of Christ. What was in our heart? I must increase. I must be number one. Isn't that the same as Nimrod? The desire for one world government to rule others is in all of us. It's just that we do not have the power to succeed, whereas these people will be given power to succeed. The condition is one language, one communication, and one control. And once you receive that, once you get that, there is nothing that will restrain them or stop them from making it into a reality. And that was exactly what they were completing. Not yet. They were completing, about to complete. Thank God. God himself came down. Verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. Now note the same verb that now God said, go to, let us go down. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us now go down. Man wants to go to, God also said go to. They are basically fighting against God, challenging God. God will accomplish his one world government, but man will have his own version of the one world government, and they will fight against God in the process to accomplish it. And so God says, we cannot let that happen. Not yet, not this time. Go to, let us go down. You watch the verb that they also use. Go to, let us make. Go to, let us build. And so now God says, let us go down, go to. And there he confounded their language that they may not understand one another's speech. One morning they woke up, suddenly they could not communicate. That was the weakness. In order for the one world government to succeed, communication is crucial. In order for your orders as the most powerful man on earth to be obeyed, people have to understand you. That's true also of God's word. Why do you think God's word has to be translated into as many languages of the world as possible? Because without understanding, we can't obey. No matter how strong you desire to obey, you can't if you don't understand what the person is saying. Now, please do not compare this with what happened in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, God gave the apostles the ability to speak in many languages that they did not go to school to learn. They did not lose the ability to speak their original languages. God just added to them new languages on top of the languages that they already spoke. But in the case of Genesis 11, God removed from them the ability to speak their original language. And I believe the original language was Hebrew, because the Bible was written in Hebrew. The record of Genesis where God communicated with Adam was in Hebrew. And I read somewhere that it was said that they believe in this right up to the 19th century AD. It was only after the evolution theory of Darwin that man started to challenge this idea that the first language was the Hebrew language. Shem, I believe, retained the Hebrew language, because the rest of chapter 11, God focused on Shem, and God continued to communicate with the descendants of Shem, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when God appeared to them in
the Christophany or the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and he communicated with them in the language of Hebrew. As recorded for us in Genesis, it's written in Hebrew. So Shem and his descendants retained the first or original language, whereas the descendants of the other two sons, Japheth and Ham, they lost the ability to speak Hebrew, and they were given new languages. And suddenly, these three groups of descendants from the three sons of Noah found themselves strangers. They can only speak within their own descendants, their own tribe, as it were. Shem, the Shemites, they could. The rest, suddenly they can only speak among themselves. And that's why in Genesis 10, the Bible recorded for us that they were all divided according to their languages. The descendants of Ham went one way. The descendants of Japheth went another way. Some said the Japheth people went up north, and that's where you have the Europeans. The others went down south, you have the Africans. And the Shemites, they remained in the Middle East. They spoke Hebrew, and they continue to speak Hebrew till today. And because of what happened, God succeeded, and they left off to build the city. God stopped it, and that's why they failed. If God had not intervened, they would have succeeded. Please realize and understand how serious this attempt was. God's plan of salvation was at stake. God said to replenish, they refused. And now God had to forcibly scatter them. That's what verse 8 says. Remember what Nimrod said? Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. They don't want to. Which was God's command to Noah and the sons when they came out of the ark. Fill the earth, scatter. And now God had to forcibly scatter them. And that's what God did. You fight against God, you can never win. Remember, we are all like Nimrod. Remember, we are all born in sin like Nimrod. We all have this desire to promote our name. This is the evidence and symptom of the sinful heart. Only in Christ Jesus can you be spared and be delivered. That's why the name that must be promoted is Jesus Christ, not man. Satan wants to urge us on to propel our name, but our name will save no one. But the name of Jesus Christ always will. If only you would believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, rose from the dead for your justification because of your sin. God has sent Jesus Christ to die for you so that you will be delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, because of God's love. That's why God had to do this. The serious nature of this transgression is seen by the fact of God's direct intervention. He came down, he saw, he intervened directly. He did not send an angel to do it, which he could have, but he had to do it personally. Why? Because of the severity of the situation. That's going to happen in the last days, where God himself will send forth his wrath upon mankind. Direct intervention as a message to us of the serious nature of that transgression. Do not treat the pride and the arrogance of man in wanting to be number one as something trivial. In other words, when parents push their children to be number one, which is the voices of the world, don't you listen. It is a very serious transgression that you are doing to your own children by trying to push them to be number one, because you are feeding on this mentality, the Nimrod mentality, to be number one. Don't you treat that lightly. It is very subtle. It is very dangerous. It may have the appearance of innocency. There's nothing wrong. Just be number one. But when it comes from a heart that is depraved and full of sin, it is poison. That kind of fuel to feed the depravity in us by moms and dads, by pushing them. You are feeding them with the Nimrod mentality. Make us, for us, a name. Number one. That is against Christ. We are made in God's image.
God was not made in our image. And the image that we must now bear is God's. And that is the image of Jesus Christ. That has to be restored. We lost it when we sinned. Marred badly. Very badly marred. Let it be restored by coming to Jesus Christ. And then your mind will be Christ-like. Your heart will be constrained by the love of God, just as God's heart has always been constrained by the agape love. Not your name, not my name, but the name of Jesus Christ. That's why God has to stop this one world government in their first attempt in order to save us, so that you and I may be saved by the Messiah, Jesus himself. God's plan of salvation was through the lineage of Shem. Later on, we know that it will be through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah, and so on. If they had stayed where they were, God's plan of salvation would have been thwarted. And that's why God intervened for our sake. And this is the lesson for us. Don't try to be number one. Push Christ. Let Christ be the Lord of your life. And the only way is salvation in Christ Jesus. Let that be the beginning. Then live a life of holiness, projecting only the image of Christ. Because remember, this desire for a one world government is in all of us to be number one. The Bible calls it the pride of life. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, remind us, O Lord, that we are all like Nimrod. But for your grace and your mercies, you have redeemed us, you have saved us. And like John the Baptist, we must say with all our heart that Christ must increase and we decrease. Help us therefore, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation. And the evidence of our salvation is Christ must become the image that we bear, so that others, when they see our good works, they will no longer see us, but see only our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus glorifying our Father who art in heaven by praising and promoting only Jesus Christ and not us. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins when we were parents and how we had been pushing our children in the direction of the world, even though we may have done so in ignorance. May thou forgive us. Help us to be awakened to the many, many evil that is around us. They may sound innocuous and innocent, O Lord, but grant us the discernment that we need to drive and push our children and our friends and our family members toward eternity, and that is toward Jesus Christ, and not the desires and the voices and philosophies of the world. May thou open our eyes to see the truth and grant to us the courage to do what is right, even though we may have to stand alone. May we do so with thy strength and with thy enabling and with much prayer. Send us forth, O Lord, to be the light of the world in Christ Jesus, so that he will always be the one and only Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will one day bring about his one world government, where Christ, God Almighty, will be honored and will be praised. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.